We're going to begin a study in the book of Ephesians. I think if there was a book in the Bible that I would have to be, if I had to choose, it would be Ephesians. There is wealth and riches untold in this great New Testament book. Our text begins Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to look into your word this hour. We're thankful for each one that's gathered here to worship your name, to sing praises unto your name, but then to look into your word. And Father, I'm sure that the topic at hand this hour would not meet each individual need per se, but through thy Holy Spirit, would you administer the word of God as only you can? Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Break up the fallow ground of our hearts. Sow indeed the seed of the word of God in such a way that it would take root. We pray that each one might be willing to yield to that work. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. As we begin this message this morning, as you can see, I've entitled it more than an introduction. Well, why is that? Well, when you meet someone along the way, maybe for the first time, and certainly I'm new to most of you, and I'm terrible with names. I just am, and so you're just going to have to say I'm so-and-so again, just to tell me your name. And maybe in 6 months I might get it, hopefully sooner than that. But when you meet someone, usually you explain the normal pleasantries. My name's so-and-so. And you begin this, where do you work? I work here. How many do you have in your family? Where do you live? There's, maybe if they're not from this area or if they're from out of town, what's the weather like, where you are? You begin to talk about all those little trivial things as you begin a discussion. And so as we approach the Word of God and as we look at it, Ephesians chapter 1, you might look initially at verse 1 in that way. Not that you would ever as a believer say, well, the Word of God is trivial. No, we don't want to. No, you're not going to say that. But maybe in your approach, that's verse 1. Got to get to the meat. And you just jump right by it without ever stopping to think about what it's really saying and why it's there. And so your text this morning is more than a simple introduction. First of all, I want you to think about who's writing. Now, I was brain dead this morning, but I'm sure that you'll be able to help me out with this. That Republican from Idaho that's been in the news. Name? Okay, thank you. Why did you have to bring him up in the sermon this morning? Well, it wasn't to give a blessing. But when you mention a name, what happens? If I said Larry Craig, immediately, except I was brain dead and I couldn't, but immediately there would be an association with an idea or something would come to mind, maybe about the character of that individual, certainly in question in this case. And so when you see a name, what comes to your mind? Here in the Word of God, right from the get-go, we have a name, and it's what? Paul. Paul. Stop and think about that for a minute. We read in your hearing this morning in our scripture from Acts chapter 9 about in the beginning of the character and of what people thought about him. In fact, it preceded his coming. Ananias knew, said, I don't want to go help this guy out. You got to be kidding me, Lord. He has letters from the high priest to persecute the church. I'm not going to, and all the harm that has come to him. And when you read that in Acts chapter 9, his name's not Paul, it's what? Saul. And what's he doing? He's breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. I mean, as a believer, you're going, this is not my best friend. I don't think so. And that was his character. He was a leader in the persecution of the church. Back in Acts, just a couple chapters over, when you have Stephen. And Stephen was being stoned for his faith. What a horrible thing to go through. A martyr. But in Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, what do you have? They cried out with a loud voice. They covered their ears. That was their reaction against this message about Christ. They rushed upon him with one impulse, and when they had driven him out of the city, this is Stephen, they've driven Stephen out, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named who? You think about that. Let me hold your coats while you throw stones, gentlemen. Fire away. Breathing murders, threatenings against the church. How many of you would say, that's the man I want to lead a dynamic, the word's not coming to me this morning. I'm brain dead here. A dynamic, I'm thinking revolution. It's not a revolution. It's a dynamic movement of God in the early church. A revival, there we go. It was in the R category. Wow. But I serve the great God. And when I think of unregenerate, in our second point, an unregenerate Saul, a leader in the persecution of the church, in the early church, I then have to go, when I see that name, and think of a regenerate Paul, and his, first of all, his dramatic conversion on the road and what occurred that day. Here was a man who was ready to who thought he was on a mission from God to persecute the church, and that he was doing God's mission, and in a dramatic vision from heaven, their Lord Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? Is that what it says? Why are you persecuting me? It's not just those people. Do you really realize what you're doing? They're mine. You're persecuting me. He says, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That day he saw Jesus. That day he came to Jesus. Jesus came to him. And the Lord sent Ananias. He came to Christ, became a changed man, was baptized, and began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying he's the Son of God. Now you might be sitting here this morning and you might say, I've sinned too much. I've sinned too much to be ever be used by God. Wait a minute. Have you pulled the trigger and killed people? Have you stoned anybody? Were you involved in a murderous plot of persecution? Chances are, I don't think we have any serial killers in our midst. Run if there are. You know. But what was Saul? in the name of the Lord. Here's what I want you to see. When you see Paul, you think of a mighty God who's in the business of changing lives. God's in the business of changing people from inside out. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New. What's the word? Tell me now. You heard me. New creation. Brand new. Old things are passed away. Folks, when you get saved, Jesus Christ is not just simply added onto your life. There is a demolition that occurs in your heart. And old things are removed and Jesus Christ comes in and He does a remodel. And you're made new. And that's why you have in the Word of God, by way of illustration and dramatic, in a dramatic way, that no longer is His name to be Saul, but what? Paul. You're made new. Live out what you are. And so when you see that in the Word of God, I want you to see, first of all, Paul and his conversion. And he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That was the Apostle Paul. My God's a big God. He's here to change lives. The conversion that was achieved. So when you see that, you think about the Apostle Paul. Secondly, that you want to see here in our text, first of all, Paul, back in Ephesians, is a what? Paul is an apostle. This is very important. An apostle is one who is sent. The office identified of what he holds, an apostle. His credentials are authenticated. We have the conversion achieved, an unregenerate Saul, a regenerate Paul, and now his credentials are authenticated. First of all, it's his office identified as an apostle. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, get the gifts that he gives to the church. He says, I have given some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors, teachers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, God has appointed in the church first what? Apostles. Now the question that you might say, well, where are the apostles then today? Well, good question. I'm glad you asked. To be an apostle, you have first of all had to have been an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. Yes, we have a personal relationship with the Lord when we're saved and born again. But to be an apostle, you had to physically have seen Him. When did the Apostle Paul physically see the Lord Jesus in a physical way with his eyes? On that road to Damascus. Okay? And the Apostle Paul, when he defends his apostleship, says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have not I seen Jesus our Lord? So he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. To be an apostle, you had to have been, had to have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 22, they asked this question. We all remember that fellow named Judas. Alright, we all know who he is, but Judas, of course, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He hung himself, died. Well, that makes, instead of 12, there was 11, and so they had to choose another. And in Acts chapter 1, they said, well, what are we going to do about this and the fact that we need to change someone else? And it says in verse 21 of Acts 1, is therefore necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. We're looking for someone who walked with us when Jesus was here, beginning with the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us. One of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas and Matthias. And they prayed, thou Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. They drew lots. The lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So there was the apostle that was added. They have had to have been called by that office by the Lord Jesus Christ. In this instance, then, when we look at Acts chapter 1, they prayed, Lord, you know the hearts of all men, show us. By way of lots, show us. So there was a divine commissioning to the office. Now here's the thing that I want you to see this morning. Infallibly inspired. It was essential that an apostle was infallibly inspired and thus secured against all error and mistake in their public teaching, whether by word or by writing. Proof text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Get a hold of this truth this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Get this morning. In the church, one of the things that a church does in Acts chapter 2 or supposed to do, at least in the early church, what they did was, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, let me just get that for you real quick. The early church, they continually devoting themselves to what? The apostles' what? Teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells us that when you heard them speak, you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And a church is to devote themselves to an apostle's teaching. So we're not really interested in what Pastor Dave thinks, are we?
Duh, I don't know. Don't want to offend the new guy here, do you?
Should you really be concerned about what I think? No! My opinion does not matter. If we want my opinion, then we can turn some, you know, self-help, positive thinking guru at television and stay home. Because I'm not that important. It does not matter what I think. It matters what this book says. And you measure what I say against this book. You devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and their doctrine. Folks, you are basing your eternal destiny upon apostles' teaching, this book. Truth. Heaven and hell, serious stuff. Principles for daily living, serious stuff. And the apostle said, I am so thankful that when you heard us, you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. So when you read Ephesians chapter 1, and the first thing that you see is Paul, a what? Apostle, that is authority. That is deep authority by which you are about to read that the early church continued in. And that carries weight. That is deep meaning for you, the believer. The apostles' doctrine, because we go, well, I want to be like the early church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. I want to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, where do you find it? Here. What did God say? Paul, an apostle. And unless we get, well, there was four things. Come on, you little clicker. There we go. they had to perform, be able to perform miracles to be an apostle. So we have an apostle. But then, next thing, not only was he, and the office is identified as an apostle, but it was an ordained appointment. An apostle by the what? The will of God. No personal ambition. Say, I'm not here as an apostle so that I can, you know, go back. Do you remember in the days when they handed out Sunday school pins? Some of you remember, you know, for every, I got my Sunday school pin. I've been faithful to church for 40 years. Well, you know, he wasn't there so that he could have a bunch of Sunday school pins. By the will of God. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Then, get this. In Ephesians, Paul, an apostle, well, who's he writing to? The Ephesians? Yes. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the what? Yes, the saints. We're going to start with the saints. That is the Greek. You know what? Anybody know what the Greek word for saints is? What it is? Anybody? I'm going to tell you. You probably all. Holy. Holy ones. Are you a saint? I don't know about that one. I mean, if you ask my wife, she'll sure tell you I'm not a saint. Paul of Christ Jesus to the will of God to the what? You are holy in Christ this morning. That's holy. That's what God has done. Folks, you have to be that way because of Christ. Because of the blood of Christ, when God looks at your heart through the blood, because of Christ, He sees you as holy, justified, sanctified. You are a saint.
Well, the kid's going to say, Mom, Dad, I'm a saint.
You are a saint in Christ. That's what you are. Holy, set apart, dedicated to God. That's what it means, a holy one. In its root form, separate. What? Separate from sin. And usually we say, well, it's that negative and I can't sin. But folks, there's the positive aspect of holiness, and that means your positive dedication to God and who you are. Man. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses in Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 12. And so as those who have been what? Chosen of God, holy, and beloved. There's three things that you are in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3. Chosen, holy, and beloved. Chosen, holy, and beloved. Wow. That's the character that you have. The character that is ascribed to you by God. The character is one of a dedicated relationship to Him. Holy, set apart, dedicated to God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. There's a lot of junk and a lot of garbage out there. I mean, who ever thought that tapping your foot in the men's restroom meant anything? You know? Weird. I mean, I wouldn't... You know, and then I have a hard time giving the benefit of the doubt on that one, you know. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Folks, you wouldn't think, you know, that some of that kind of activity in a restroom would mean anything. It's just to the normal guy that just, you know, does what you're supposed to do. Well, it should be that way in the Christian world. If you live out what you are, you shouldn't care about all the other garbage that's out there. You live out what you are in a positive way. Do not concern yourself with that other kind of junk and that garbage. Jesus died, shed His blood for all that garbage. Don't slap in His face and participate of what's out there in the world. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So you're a saint in Christ. But you know what? Not only should you have a dedicated relationship to Him, but you need to be a devoted follower. Faithful. Faithful. A character ascribed is a dedicated relationship. A saint, it's a devoted follower. Faithful. Faithful. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then look at the creed that's announced. Fourthly, the creed that's announced, the belief that's announced. What does he say? Grace. The granted grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The amazing grace of God. How easy is it to love the unlovely? It's not very easy, is it? Be kind to an enemy? Forget it. You gotta be kidding. Folks, the Bible says in the book of Romans that when we are in our sin, it's like we are an enemy, is the word, an enemy of God. Jesus says, for God so what? Don't love the world. We get love mixed up today because we think it's all the ooey-gooey, feel-good kind of stuff. Love is a choice. Agape love, God's love, is a choice to love the unlovely. Grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. Praise God that I don't get to heaven and somehow I'm going to, you know, take all my good works, the little bit that there might be, and place them there at the front of heaven's gates and go, I just hope it's enough. Did I make the good scale meter? You know, is it going to hit the top bell and I'm going to make it? And then when it does,
look at all the good things I did. My mansion's bigger than yours.
Bible says it's not like that. At all. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. We're under grace. Not only do we have grace, but what? Grace to you and what? Peace. Peace. Wow. John 14:27, Christ said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. John 20, verse 19. It was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. The disciples were there for fear of the Jews. And when Jesus, in his resurrected, glorified body, stood in their midst, he said to them, peace be to you. What's it like to really get a hold of the fact that all your sins are truly forgiven and that you really have peace with God? That when you die, you stand in Him complete and all is forgiven. You have peace. True peace. When you get to the end of this life and you realize that you can't take anything on this life with you, what does it really matter? But to have peace with God, the salvation of your soul, the hope, i.e. confidence of heaven, and true peace in your heart, deep down inside. You know what gets our hearts all mixed up is when we keep looking at our circumstances and we let those things get to us. Look to Him. Look to Him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Christ has a message of peace. And so Paul, By way of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints, the holy ones who are at Ephesus, who are the faithful, the devoted followers in Christ Jesus, he greets them and grants to them peace, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So next time, when you open up the Word, and you read those first couple verses, you stop and think what's really there. Because it's just more than an introduction of surfacey stuff like, hi, how are you? What's the weather like? There's some depth for you as a believer. And there's some gold and treasures beyond measure if you would stop but feed your soul upon those words. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed for a moment.